for those of you that braved the weather or got online. So we're starting this series called Renovations. 2006, we're living in Omaha, Nebraska, and actually Papillion, Nebraska. At the time, it was one of the top cities, according to USA Today, to live in. It was an incredible experience for us. It was a great season. If you're a person in this room, you've had good seasons in your life. This is what the 2 years that we lived in Omaha was for us. And so in 2006, we're doing this Sunday night small group with about 20 teenagers that every Sunday night they came to our house, ate a lot of food, smelled up my place, and we would start off with watching a TV show called Extreme Home Makeover. Before Chip and Joanna was, there was Ty Pennington. And they're back. They're coming back. So, those of you who are like, oh my gosh, I'm Chip and Joanna all the way. I don't care. All right? So, Ty Pennington was it. You know, the host, and he does all these things. And then we would watch. We'd start 6 to 7. We're watching that. And then we're getting in a small group. Okay? And every week, I would just get to tears when I heard these words, bus driver, move that bus. Yeah. Yep, that's what it was. And about a year into it, kids would start looking at me about that moment to watch me grown man cry, you know? That's a real thing, grown man cry. They would just look at me waiting for the tears to come because it just got me. But there's a part in that show where Ty Pennington would get excited, he would get pumped, and he would yell this phrase, "Let's do some demo!" He got pumped about doing demolition. Anybody in this room? You're like, you get pumped by knocking some walls out. Instead of it being your kids, you're knocking out some walls, right? You're like, I got to take out this frustration somewhere. I don't know why we don't hit pillows, but let's do this demo, all right? This is what it was. The next couple weeks, what we're going to talk about is, God, what do you want to renovate in my life? What is happening in my life that you need to renovate, that you need to strip away? The very definition of renovation is to restore to an earlier condition as by repairing or remodeling, or to impart new vigor, or to revive. So God, what do you need to revive in my heart? God, what do you need to revive? What do you need to bring to new? What new thing do you need to bring back to life? What do I need to throw some paint on? What do I need to strip away? I'm going to ask these questions. I encourage you, I challenge you to ask these questions as we talk through this. All right, let's pray. I want you to pray for the Williamsons, if you could. They're traveling this weekend to Michigan as Sean's grandfather passed away this past week. And so they're traveling. And so would you pray with me for them? And let's just pray for the service. God, thank you for today. God, just pray for Sean Shelley, their family, as they gather today. God, what a legacy as he talks about his grandfather, the 94 years that he had here on earth. God, just the legacy that he's leaving. God, just pray as family comes together, God, that you just be with that family, strengthen them in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray on the earth. God, we need to hear your voice. We need to see what it is that you're doing on the earth. God, show us the truth of who you are. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where's Sandy and Sarah at? Where are you guys at? Where are you sitting at? Hey, there you are. Speaking of Chip and Joanna, right? Coming from the Texas area. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming back. We miss you. We miss you. So thanks for being here. And that baby. Man, why don't you stand up and show everybody that baby? Just because. Oh, my goodness. Goodness. Come on, somebody. Glad it's yours. All right, so, I mean, she's beautiful. She's beautiful, but someone told me the other day, you're going to be an incredible grandparent. And I'm like, well, in fact, it was Carol that said that. I'm going to be a great grandparent. You know why? Because no will not be in my vocabulary.
I think she said you won't be a good grandparent.
No, I will be. My grandkids are going to love me. I will never say no to them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, I won't. No, I won't. Nope. No, I won't. No, I won't. You know why? Because they got to go back home. Unless they're living with me. Kids, don't do that to me, all right? Do not live in my house if you have kids. Like, we can talk about that right now. Do not live in my house.
I'm a great
Great grandkids? I don't know. I don't. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. They can invite me to live with them, but I don't want them living with me. All right, we better move on before I get in a lot of trouble. All right, Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this to the Philippian church. Now, this is a church he'd been at for several years, established relationship, but here's the groundwork. He says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Here's what I want us to see. God is doing something, and you are in process. Here's how we have to start seeing people. We have to start seeing people as God beginning the work, and that we are work. Okay? We're in process, every single one of us. There's no arrival moment. We've not arrived. We've gotten stronger. We've gotten better. We've said nicer things. We've become more patient. We've become more loving, but we've not arrived. Okay? There's still going to be moments, things that happen, things that people do that are going to make you so mad that you might want to resort back to how you used to be. And this is what I want us to see. Renovation starts with me saying, "I'm willing." God can't do anything in my life until I say I'm willing. If I'm restoring this chair right here, which is similar to the chair in the video, every single week, I have to start with this process of moving this from my basement and bringing it up to a place where I'm going to start the restoring process. There are things that you have to do in your life that starts the process to which you are saying, "I'm willing. I'm willing to go through a process. I'm willing to go through an evaluation. I'm willing to sit down and answer hard questions. I'm willing to hear what it is that you have to say for me." And it's finding people in your life that are for you, not against you. It's finding people in your life that want the best for you. I'm not saying we do an evaluation moment with everybody. It is with people that love us and are for us. But we have to start with going, "I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to take it from the garage. I'm willing to put it in a shop. And I'm willing to start the process, the hard work that it's going to take to renovate our lives, to take these projects, to take what's happening." And listen, someone asked me this after service. Where do I even start? Start with getting a verse of the day. Start there. Every single day, they will send you a verse. You don't even have to look for it. They will send you a verse. You read the verse, meditate on the verse, make that verse a prayer, and watch what God does in that small thing. What is that? The God who begins a good work. It starts with you saying, "I'm willing. I'm willing to go through this." Why is this? I'm willing because I'm tired of getting what I've always gotten, because I'm tired of doing what I've always done. And because of that, I got to do something different. Listen, if you're in this room and you're saying, "I'm doing this," do something different. "Man, I don't seem to be losing weight." Do something different. "It's not working." Try something else. "Well, I seem to be working out by myself." Don't do that. Work out with someone that's going to push you. "Well, I seem to always be a person that complains." Find someone in your life that will shut you up when you complain. "Well, I don't know about that." It's because you're not willing. When you're willing to do that, and when you're willing to not be that, then watch. Watch what people and how you change. The problem right now is you're just not willing. You like the idea of it. You like the idea of it. You've seen other people do it. And because you've seen other people do it, you want to be them, but you just don't want to go through the hard work that it's going to take. And it starts with the heart and it starts with the mind. That's the reason Paul told the Romans church in Romans chapter 12 this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, who? God, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the key. Then, after changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, if I said to you, who in this room wants to know God's will for your life because it's good, perfect, and pleasing? Who wants to know that? Hands are going to go up everywhere, but that's not what it says. It says, then you will learn. See, you and I don't like then moments. We like result moments. We don't want then moments. The then moment is I have to look at the first part, which is changing the way I think. I have to be willing to change the way I think. And in order to change the way I think, I have to strip through the past. I have to strip through the things that I've always done. I have to strip through those things, which means talking about them, which means communicating about them, which means talking about tough things. All these things come to play. So again, it's great that we're starting here. But listen, the good work that's beginning, it's just that. It's the beginning. And you're in a crazy process. But here's what God said in Isaiah 55. And here's what I want us to see. He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. All my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down." Lord, not anymore, please. "From the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Here's what we have to see, and this is what I want you to hear more than anything. If you're a person that takes notes, because that's what people going to heaven do, if you're in this room, I want you to capitalize this. Capitalize this, which means someone is yelling at you. If you've sent a text with capital letters, it means you're yelling. I need you to hear this. Write this in capital letters. God knows what he is doing. And I would even add this, and you put these in parentheses and lower letters, so you don't have to, stop yelling at me. Because I do not. God knows what he's doing. I would even say, even when I don't know. Even when I don't know. Even when I don't know, God knows what he's doing. And you can trust him. So my question to us is, and hear this, whose power are you relying on? If me saying I'm willing is enough, then, man, we are just totally different group of people, right? I'm just willing, and now all of a sudden my life just fell into place. It's not that I'm just willing, it's who am I relying on? Whose power am I relying on? This is a question that I want us to answer. Whose power am I relying on? Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Let's go there. We're going to spend some time in this chapter. It says, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.'" Now, if I was to come to you, or someone came to you at school, or someone came to your work, and they said to you, "Are you a believer?" They said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I would say a majority of people that believe in Jesus are going to go, "Yeah, I do." If someone says, "Are you a Christian?" you might go, "Yeah, I am a Christian." This is the group of people that is at Ephesus that Paul is talking about. He's saying, they went there and they said, "Have you guys, the believers, have you received the Holy Spirit?" To which they go, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Which is what I want us to see. You and I tend to shy away from things that we don't know anything about. And here's what I mean by this. Every time I say a word, your mind goes somewhere. So I say renovation, your mind went somewhere. You either got a husband that's good at it or a husband that's not so good at it. So you say renovation, some of you dollar signs went up. You're like, "Oh," which means I gotta overprice what I'm about to do because I know he's going to mess up a couple times. Right? You say renovation, any words that I'm saying, I say, sin, or I say love, or I say forgiveness, or I say unforgiveness. All of us, we're going somewhere because experience and knowledge is very crucial for how we live in our culture. So, because of that, we a lot of times run the other way. Because it's like, I don't know anything about that. Here, he comes to these believers who believe in Jesus. They've been transformed. They want to follow. They're called the way. They're wanting to do life like for after Jesus. They're going to church. They're ushering. They're greeting. They're doing all these things. And then he says, but have you received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, I don't even know what you're really talking about. Like, what do you even mean? So, I'm not super handy, since that I can watch YouTube and figure it out. I'm okay in the sense that I can watch YouTube and figure it out, right? But I also tend to surround myself with people who are better, who are okay. And to me, this comes down to this, right? So he comes to the believers and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is, because they've been doing life where they're using what I would deem utensils that are good or things that will help you, aid you, but it's going to take you longer. Okay? So they've been using maybe a handsaw. Maybe they've been using a hammer. Maybe they've been using a screwdriver. They'll get the work done. They'll get the job done. But in the end, I'm going to hit myself with this at some point. I'm going to hurt myself. At some point, I'm going to get some blisters from constantly doing this. At some point, I'm going to do okay. It's going to just take me longer. It's going to be more frustrating, and it's just what it is. This is the believers at Ephesus that Paul is talking to. They're like, yeah, we've never heard of this Holy Spirit, but we're doing life. We're doing the best we can. We're willing. We want to do these things, but yet they've not received the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, once he was eating with them, this is Jesus, and he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as he told you. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, there's a baptism that happens in water, baptism, immersion, a covering that happens in water, that is this old, this example of the old going away. Behold, all things becoming new. You're a new creation. Old things. It's a beautiful picture. He's saying, yeah, you've been baptized that way, but I'm saying there's one that's coming and Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And here's what he's saying. When you're baptized in water, the Spirit comes to live inside you, but you're walking around as a believer with no power. And so, yeah, you're getting by. You're it's going to take a little bit, but we're getting there. Oh my gosh. I'm thinking of roofers. He used to roof like this. I'll cut this thing down. It's going to take me a while. Yeah, I don't mind cutting this 2x4. Paul comes and he says, hold up. You guys, this is taking you forever. There's a power that will make this a lot easier. There's this introduction of, listen, this thing right here, it's incredible. It'll change your life. Okay? Might cut off a toe or an arm or a finger. It's going to change you, though, one way or the other. Now, listen, for a second, if you're an analytical person and you need to know how this operates and you need to take it apart and figure it out before you move from this to this, you're going to be frustrated. If you need to get in your car and go, I need to look under the hood and see how everything's working before I drive my car. Or if you get on a plane and they say, we got a part that's coming in, we're going to replace the part. And you're going, I'm not flying on that plane because I don't know what part you just put on there. Or if you're a person that's like, listen, I trust the process, just fly me where I'm going. If you're a person that's like, I'm going to keep using a hammer, but man, this nail gun is awesome. So much easier. Right, Josh? I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Too soon. My bad, Josh. My bad. What is that? He's just introducing them to these believers, saying, listen, how you're doing life, how you're going through it, you're going through the motions, you're numb, you're doing things on your own. There is a power that's coming, and this power that's coming when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is you will be living different. People will see you different. People will view you different. All of these things are power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, there is a boldness that will come upon you when you stop going through the motions. Stop depending on your willingness. Stop depending on your personality. And God engages you. And God does something inside of you where your spirit comes alive. And now you're connecting to God. And now there's an awakening that's happening. And it's not because you were born with a quiet personality. There's an awakening. There's an eye-opening thing that's happening when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you and I, a lot of times, run from the Holy Spirit because of what we've been told. And so now it's like, ooh. You said Holy Spirit, but yet Jesus said, actually, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Listen, if you want to know what the most practical thing that can happen in your life as a follower of Jesus, if you're sitting here going, I just want to know how to get from A to B. I just want to know how I should do my life better. Here's the most practical thing anyone should ever tell you. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I mean, will that make me weird? No, that's your perception of what the Holy Spirit does. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when it says it is profitable. Okay? Profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. So he's saying, listen, I got to go away because when you're baptized, here's who comes. I love that the Amplified says expedient. You know what that means? You are taking way too long to do what God has called you to do. You're not getting any younger. You're getting older. Speed up the process. Speed it up. I'm going through the motions. Some guy comes along, pop, 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 we're done. You're like, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't understand what the Holy Spirit does. Well, I just showed you. He gives you power to what? To be bold in everything that you do. So now you can't blame it on your personality. Well, I'm just not a morning person. No. It's this awakening that comes alive that when someone says, God's grace is good, that there's just something that activates inside you. See, there's a fight that's happening. It's your flesh and it's the spirit. There's the flesh that is going, that is happening, okay? When you wake up every day, there's the flesh that is going, oh, stay here. Don't get out. And so you start saying things like, it's snowing. It's cold. I don't like my boss. And we're saying these things, right? Versus the Spirit, when you say, Holy Spirit, will you activate my faith today? Will you join my faith? This is you. Again, I'm willing to pray. Oh, my gosh. That's never happened, but proof. Proof that I clean my clothes. All right, so someone thought I was doing a magic trick. That was awesome. Smells good too. Yeah, that's awkward. That's so awkward. Oh man. That was weird. All right. Let's bring it back. First Corinthians 2. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. Man, hear this. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. You know what's not said right there? They're only discovered by human wisdom. They're only discovered by personalities that are strong. It doesn't say that. It says it's only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. What is that? Your spirit being awakened. Those who live by the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, for they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. Man, hear what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, something happens in your life when you say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to cover me. I need you to illuminate. I need you to light up. I need you to immerse. I need those things to happen in my life. God, would you come and would you activate my faith? I'm willing, but God, you got to do this. This is not my power. This is your power that I have to rely on. Ephesians 5 says this. Verse 15. Love this. These are my three favorite verses. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Hear this. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he's saying. It's not a moment where he's talking about alcohol. He's saying, listen, stop looking for temporary fixes when the eternal fix is right in front of you. He said, stop becoming so numb to the things that are happening around you, but rely on the Holy Spirit by being filled with the Holy Spirit to illuminate or to activate. If you're in this room and you're like, there's a moment where I was closer to Jesus, or there's a moment where I remember when I came to Jesus, and when I came to him, I feel like I was so much different. What happened in my life? Listen, you need your life illuminated by the Spirit of God. Well, so much of my things have happened in my life. Yes, and this is why you need the Spirit to be filled, you to be filled with the Spirit. Because yes, things are going to happen to you. People are going to happen to you daily. This is going to happen. Listen to what he says. He continues in Acts chapter 19. And to me, I don't know if you've ever read Acts 19, but I've read Acts 19 in a whole new way. On some practical things. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months. That's beautiful. Arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. This is what Christians were called at this time, the way. So Christians are getting spoken against by stubborn people. So Paul left the synagogue, took the believers with him, then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall. This is what I want us to see. Paul, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses. The power that comes, you're going to be my witnesses to proclaim Jesus everywhere that you go. Paul's proclaiming it. He's being bold. People are being stubborn. People are rejecting it. Paul says, let's have a conversation about it. See, you and I, in this moment, start rejecting. And we start saying things like, well, they believe what they believe, and they believe what they believe, and they have these beliefs over there. Paul's going, let's gather around the table and let's chat. Let's talk. Let's get on the same page. See, everybody wants unity until we got to sit at the table. A little different. Let's sit at the table. Let's bring our beliefs. Let's bring how we've been raised and the preconceived ideas that we have. And let's sit at the table. Let's have conversations for the next church halls. This went on for the next 2 years. Come on, somebody. Like, you want to talk about patience. I can't hang around people I like for 2 years. He's talking about people that are stubborn and rejecting him. And he says, let's go. Let's just talk through this stuff for 2 years. Oh, my gosh. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you do now. 2 years. Nobody can. I mean, listen. The story of what happened spread quickly, this is verse 17, all through Ephesus. Jews and Greeks alike, a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. They said, you know what? I believe in Jesus. And they start confessing. And the Bible says a number of them were practicing sorcery, and they brought their sorcery books. They brought all of these witchcraft books. They brought them in, and they just had a big bonfire. They burned them up. And the Bible says in this verse, I don't know what your translation says, but the NLT says, the value of the books were several million dollars. Now, I'm still that guy that's like, couldn't we have sold those and made some money? But anyway. Verse 20. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Here's where I think most of us live, myself included. We get frustrated by life. Life hits us hard. The enemy's fighting us, whether we want to admit that or not. There's a battle that's happening between my flesh, what I want, and the Spirit of God. And it's on display every single day. You come in, you say something to me, man, whatever I'm feeding, that's what's coming out. Okay, so if I'm feeding the flesh, you don't like what's coming out, right? And let's be real. Everybody in this room, we know when we're acting in the flesh. There's not ignorant people in this room. You know when you're responding and when God's responding, right? You know this. When you respond, doesn't go well. Let's just leave it there. Makes it worse. Now when you add another person that isn't relying on the Spirit, it's really not good. That's right. That's why Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath or quarrels. What is that? That means that when you're not being activated by the Spirit and you're working in the flesh and you are saying what you're saying, and then the other person on the other end is being led by the Spirit, is being filled with the Spirit, is being a reflection or illuminating the Spirit, they squander what you're saying. Instead of getting mad at that, thank God for that, because it could have been a lot worse. When that soft answer comes in, thank God for that soft answer. So here's where most of us are living. This thing's happening, okay? And we're saying things like, I'm willing. We're saying things like, I believe, I'm a believer. We're saying things like, I'm coming to church and I believe in church and I believe in being involved. We're saying all of these things. Yet we're like the early believers in Acts 19 who are saying, but we don't know anything about this Holy Spirit. So we're trying. We're doing. We're working with works. And so we're patting ourselves on the back because we're coming to church. We're patting ourselves on the back because we got the t-shirt and we gave to RFK. We're like excited about what we're doing. And those aren't bad things. Those are great things. But we're patting ourselves on the back and because we're doing those. But we're not being activated or baptized daily with the Holy Spirit. We're going through the motions. We're doing what we're doing because we've always done them. And then we come to this place, and it's this changed. A situation where we go, why do I feel like nothing's changed? Why do I feel like I'm still numb to certain things? It's because my willingness has to be partnered or married with baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when it is, man. Well, I'll give you the example of what it is. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. See, I think in this room, we would say, Lord, I want a powerful effect in my family. I want a powerful effect in my community. I want a powerful effect in my church. I want a powerful effect in my job. And the Lord says, all right, let's go back. What's he saying? What am I missing? See, the baptism and being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. It's an every single day, me saying, God, I'm willing, and I need you to fill me. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, because on my own, this isn't good. I need you to fill me right now. And God activates that, and man, the news about who Jesus is. And now you have people come in and they say, what's so different about you? What is it that you do? And listen, it's not going to be because you come to Life Community Church. It's not. In fact, I'm going to say this, but I probably shouldn't. In fact, that might hurt. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say that. Some people might be surprised that you come to church. Some people might be surprised that I'm a pastor. I know my high school teachers are. and a couple of the girls that I dated before Kelly. That just got awkward. No, I'm just kidding. There is something that happens when people see something different inside you. It's just, they can't explain it. They're trying to put their finger on it, and they're asking you questions. What's so different about you? And this is the moment where you and I become witnesses to what God is doing by being bold in our faith and saying, listen, this isn't what I've done because I've tried to do a lot of things. What you're seeing right now is what Jesus is doing in my life. That's the only way I can explain it. It's the only way I can explain it. I wish I could tell you it's something different, but it's not. It's Jesus. And there's nothing else. It didn't say so the message of generosity went. It didn't say the message of faith went. It didn't say the message about good tithers went. It didn't say the message about how the church grew really by the thousands. It said the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. What is that? That's you and I being bold witnesses everywhere we go for who Jesus is. And that's why we do what we do. Amen? So again, the prayer today is, God, would you renovate things in my heart? Would you illuminate? Let's pray. First and foremost, two things. If you're in this room, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You said, I've never confessed. Jesus, would you come in? Fill my life. Will you forgive me of my sins? Man, that is an incredible step that I believe so powerfully in. That just starts the process of willingness. It starts, I give you my life. I can tell you that when you go to lunch today, probably nothing's different. Nothing's different about your lunch. That's why I would encourage you to say, hey, today at church, I prayed a prayer, or today at church, something happened. Like, it's important for me that when you get in the car with your kids or you get in the car with your spouse, that you say things like, what'd you think of today? Or did anything hit you? Like, that's important because you're starting the process of saying, I want to follow Jesus. I believe there's also a group of people here that are believers. If someone came to you and said, you believe in Jesus, you're like, yeah, I do. I believe in him. You're the church at Ephesus who are new believers or fellow believers. Yet you're sitting there going, I didn't even know that it was important that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in water. It was cool. Maybe as a baby and maybe as a teenager, maybe as an adult. But I thought it was good, but this baptism in Holy Spirit, I'm confused on what it is. And it's simply this, giving the Holy Spirit permission and willingness to say, I don't want to lean on me. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of using a screwdriver while my screw gun is in the garage, not even being worked with. It's like my kid comes to me and says, I've been working on this project. And then I said, oh my gosh, we got all those supplies in the garage. And he says, I didn't even know. There's this awareness of like something powerfully happens when you say, Holy Spirit, baptize me today. Cover me. Radically change my life. Open my eyes. God, your thoughts are higher. Your ways are higher. What you see is higher. God, I want to activate my faith. I want to fully come alive today. So if you're in this room and you just say, you know what? I feel numb. I'm filling my life with temporary fixes to get to the next day, and I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I want what the Holy Spirit can give me, which is this activation, this power, this strength to be bold. I want that. And some of you, this is your daily prayer. Some of you, you've never even prayed this. or some of you, it's been a long time. But if you're in this room and you say, that's me today, I want to pray that prayer. I want the Holy Spirit to come. I am willing. Would you just stand your feet real quick? Just stand your feet. Say, that's me. That's me today. I'm just tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of the mundane. I'm tired of being numb. I need the Holy Spirit to come, to activate, to fill this power. It's not human power. It's only from God. And God said, again, it's best that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. It is best. If you're in this room and you say, you know what? Man, I need an advocate today. I need a comforter today. I need one to show me the truth today. Man, I just invite you to stand and say, here I am, God. I'm willing. I'm willing to start this process. I'm done doing it my way. I want to do it your way. You know, people have asked me, why do you have people stand? Because I'm asking you to be bold today. I've always felt like if I can't be bold here, I'll never be bold anywhere else. So this is a beginning of a good work that God's doing in your heart just by standing. Just by standing. God, I thank you for every person that's on their feet right now. God, there's a numbing, there's a coldness, there's a maybe even an attitude. When I say anything about baptism or Holy Spirit or where we fight or we're willing. And so, God, I'm thankful for those that are standing right now that say, listen, I'm done. I'm done with doing it my way. I need you. And maybe it's been a while, but they're stepping out and they're saying, God, I want to be bold. I want to walk in this power that only you can provide. The power to forgive, the power to be patient, the power to bring joy into a room. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will baptize them, God, and that the Holy Spirit would be real to them, that their eyes would be open. Their eyes would be open like never before. God, their eyes would be so, that what they're seeing is so clear. In the name of Jesus, we stand on that promise, in Jesus' name. Would everybody else stand today? Can we sing this just one more time as we're about to leave today?
Oh, your grace, so